Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Ezekiel 18. Do I have any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, says the Lord, and not that he should turn from his ways and live? But when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, shall he live? All the righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered. Because of the unfaithfulness of which he is guilty and the sin which he has committed, because of them he shall die. This is a little bit of a tough saying, perhaps, including for the grace crowd, maybe especially for the grace crowd, because we don't think in these terms. A lot of people will have issues with this, especially those who think they are selected, and indeed we are chosen by God. In verse 25 of Ezekiel 18, he continues, "Yet you say the way of the Lord is not fair." Now he just laid it out to them, if a man is righteous with God, he will live. If he is not righteous, or if he abandons his righteousness, he will die. He will have the results of what he has chosen. And this is true today. We have the results of what we have chosen. We cannot sow without reaping, and we cannot reap unless we have sown. In Matthew 7, 1 and 2, if we judge people, then we choose the judgment with which we are judged. And yet, there are people who will call this not fair. Now, not fair is a common thought today. I want you to understand this. It's a useless thought. Because it's generally an accusation against God. And not because we have a relationship with Him, but because we don't believe Him. And we don't know the love of God. And so people will often say, God is not fair. Is God fair? It's not a bad question in a way, if you want to consider it in terms of reality and not negativity. Is God fair? Well, they're saying God is not fair because the unrighteous dies, and the righteous who would live if he maintained his righteousness, if he continued living in a relationship and faith responds to God, he would live. But if even the righteous person, if he decides to backslide and enter into sin, there is a point where God will bring in the sin unto physical death. And they're saying that's not fair. We do that too. You see it all the time in the world. The world blames God as though he is not fair. Why does God allow evil into the world? Why does God allow bad things? Who made you think that God does allow bad things? Because they exist. Why does God allow this to exist? You know what it's like? Your parents tell you, don't do this activity. If you do this activity, you will get hurt. Don't play in the street because the street has traffic. And a little kid goes and plays in the street. And the little kid gets hit by a car. It's kind of that way. God says, don't enter into these types of activities. If you enter into these types of activities, the results will be very bad for you. So don't do it. And then we, being childish in our nature, we enter into those types of activities, and then we're angry at God that the result he said that would happen did happen. As a consequence of the choice that we made, and now God's not fair. That's what you see right here. And God says to them, you say the way of the Lord is not fair. Isn't it you that's not fair? Because I told you, and you're blaming me for the result that I told you it would be a problem for you, and then you do it and it's a problem for you, and then you say, I'm the one who's not fair? That's what he's saying here. Somebody gets something you don't. And a little kid will say, that's not fair. But you know, a lot of adults do the same thing. That's not fair. Look at the last election. Whether you like Trump or hate Trump, it doesn't much matter. They were advertising, well, Trump is rich. You shouldn't vote for him because he's rich. So what if he's rich? There's a lot of liberals that are rich. So what if they're rich? Well, that's not fair that somebody should be rich and you shouldn't. Well, you know what? If you work hard and you come up with a really great idea and you're talented in business, you'll be rich too. What do you mean it's not fair? Jesus told the parable of the laborers. Great parable. And in that parable, there was a man who needed some workers. He was a foreman. So he went out in the early part of the day and he hired people for a certain amount, let's say a dollar. And those people agreed they would work for a dollar for that day. And then midday he went out, he didn't have enough people, and he hired some more. And he agreed to give them a dollar to work the rest of the day. And then toward the end of the day, he went out because the job wasn't done and he hired some more people. And he agreed to give them a dollar to work that little bit that was the rest of the day. And then it came time to pay everybody and he paid them all the dollar they agreed to. And the people who were hired first were mad because the people who were hired less got the same amount that they did and they worked all day. And they said, well, that's not fair. They're saying it's not fair because one put in more than the other and they got the same result. And that's not fair, right? That's a question children ask, not adults. Is God fair? And if you wanted to think of it that way, well, of course he's not fair because these guys worked all day and they only got a dollar and those guys didn't do anything much, not nearly as much, and they got a dollar. How is that fair? And Jesus said, they all agreed to it. Why are you mad at me that I'm kind? Kindness is not fair. It isn't. Kindness happens when somebody does something or doesn't do something, whichever the case may be, and then they receive something they did not deserve. Is that fair? Of course it's not fair. But you know, we are the recipients of God's kindness all the time. If God was fair to us, we'd all end up in hell. That's fair. Because we've all sinned, we've fallen short of the glory of God, none of us is perfect, none of us is innocent. None of us is a person who does not have something in our life that was not right with God. Not one human being ever lived on earth that was not true for, with the exception of Jesus Christ. But God saves anyway. God loves anyway. Is he fair? God is kind anyway. The Word of God says that God makes the rain fall on the just and the unjust. Well, in those days in particular, but today very much so also, that's hugely important. If you don't get rain, think of Ethiopia. You get these massive starvations whenever they have droughts because the farmers didn't have water for their plants. And it happens everywhere in the world. Maybe not to such an extreme, but it happens everywhere in the world. So this is a big deal. That God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. Well, is that fair? It's kind. And kindness is not fair. It continues in verse 28 of Ezekiel 18. When a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and dies in it, it is because of the iniquity which he has done that he dies. Again, when a wicked man turns away from the wickedness which he has committed and does that which is lawful and right, he preserves himself alive. because he considers and turns away from all the transgressions which he committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. So if a person is not right with God, but then they repent, they don't have any penalty for it. Is that fair? In verse 29, it says, "Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not fair. O house of Israel, is it not my ways which are fair, and your ways which are not fair?" This person was in sin. They were suffering profoundly enough already, just because of the sin. But then they repent. They get right with God. And then they get all the blessings that God has to give them, and you're saying it's not fair? And yet, if a righteous person, somebody who has a life with God, turns away from God, backslides, enters into sin, they have to suffer the consequences of those sins. That's not fair. They had a life with God. That's not fair, they say. But God gave you what you have chosen. And really, that's what it's happening there. That's really what's happening there. God gives them what they have chosen. That righteous person was not in fact righteous except in their own eyes. And they continue in their unrighteousness, and that doesn't go well. Maybe they did have a relationship with God, and then they forsook that relationship and entered into sin. They've chosen. And they get the results of their choice. But then again, somebody who was wicked, who was going to suffer some pretty nasty things if they didn't turn, they did turn. They took advantage of all that Christ has done for them. They took advantage of the blood of Christ. They took advantage of the death of Christ. They took advantage of all these things. They accepted the kindness of God, which in itself is not fair. They accept the kindness of God. And those self-righteous ones say, well, that's not fair. They didn't get penalty. Is that fair? Well, it depends how you define fair, I guess, doesn't it? If you're defining fairness on the basis of self-righteousness, you'll never find fairness. And the reason is because your self-righteousness is a deception. You don't actually have righteousness apart from Christ. And so, is God fair? Well, I'm not so sure that He is fair. And that works well in our favor. God loves you. And that's not fair. In verse 30, it says, "Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways." Now, in 2 Corinthians 5:10, we will stand at the Bema Seat, the judgment seat of Christ. We will stand there. And God will give you according to that which took place in your life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 12, "You will either receive gold, silver, and precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. But you're the one who chooses what you receive. If you choose faith, you will receive gold. If you choose redemption, you will receive silver. If you choose the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is love, you will receive precious stones. On the other hand, if you choose to live in your old sin nature, that is wood, it burns. If you choose to live in unforgiveness, for example, in emotionalism, which is self-oriented, you will have hay. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, so that iniquity will not be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgression which you have committed, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die?" You could also ask, why should you suffer loss at the Bema Seat? Many people choose loss because they refuse to live in faith. They could, they have the capacity, they were designed for it, but they simply choose not to. they could choose to live in redemption, for example, forgiveness, mercy, compassion. They choose not to. They could love. They could be patient and kind. They choose not to. They suffer loss. But yet, if you tell somebody like that, you know, your lack of faith or your lack of forgiveness or your lack of love is loss, they might say, that's not fair. Look at what I've suffered. That's not fair. Look at what happened to me. That's not fair. Neglecting the reality in 2 Corinthians 4:15 that all things are for their sake. They came from God in 2 Corinthians 5:18 for their sake. In Romans 8:28 and 29, they came with a purpose of conforming them into the image of Christ. It came for their sake. But they'll say, God's not fair. It's not fair that this difficult situation is taking place in my life. And yet we know that they that suffer with Christ will reign with Him. In Titus chapter 2. So God is giving us an opportunity to reign with Christ. God gives us an opportunity for eternal rewards. God gives us an opportunity for coats of glory because we have a momentary light affliction. And we say, that's not fair. Bad things happen to me. That's not fair. You mean the opportunity that I've given you to be blessed with amazing eternal rewards forever is not fair? Well, all kinds of people are coming against me and all kinds of people are saying evil things about me because I'm staying true to Christ as best as I can. That's not fair. When Jesus said, blessed are you when men revile you and speak all manner of evil against you for my name's sake, for great is your reward in heaven. Well, that's not fair, is it? You see, this is what happens where iniquity, self-orientation comes in. We'll start to say to God, that's not fair. Because we evaluate things from our own experience as it affects usually our emotions. And if our emotions respond negatively, we say, that's not fair. Well, is God fair? Ask yourself, is God fair? In 1 Peter 3:18, Christ suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust. The one who was just gave himself for those who are unjust. Because the ones who are unjust had sin, and he took their sin on himself. Is that fair? In John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you desire and it'll be done for you. Don't accuse God that He doesn't answer prayer. That's one of the most common accusations against Him. Don't accuse God that He's not fair. He didn't answer your prayers. Don't accuse God in Isaiah 40:31 that you have to wait on the answer to prayer when God says that waiting process develops you. Don't say to God, you're not fair. You haven't answered my prayer today. When I wanted you to, when I wanted it, how I wanted it, where I wanted it. We call that a brat. Don't accuse God. Instead, learn to keep yourself in the love of God and have the Word of God remain in your frame of reference through a daily intake of doctrine, and He will answer your prayer. If you were given a recipe, I don't know what it's for. Let's say a recipe to make a casserole. And you follow only half the recipe and then you kind of wing the rest. Do you think it's going to come out the way that the recipe would have come out if you followed it? Well, no. I wanted to make cake, but I didn't want to put in the eggs. And now my cake doesn't taste good. That's not fair. Well, dummy, that was your own stupid fault. You should have put in the eggs the way the recipe told you to. That's your own stupid fault. We do that with God. It's our own stupid fault because He tells us exactly what we need. He tells us exactly how to do things. He tells us exactly where all of our provisions are. And we don't listen. And it doesn't go well. And we say, God, you're not fair. God says, love one another. We get self-oriented and we don't love one another. And it doesn't go well. Well, that's not fair. God says, obey my word, yield to my word, receive my word. People don't do it. The world turns to pot. And they say, well, God's not fair. Why is there all this evil in the world? Because you didn't do what He told you to do, you moron. Well, He's not fair. Is God fair? The just died for the unjust. Is God fair? He answers your prayers even though you're a wicked little sinner. Is God fair? In Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times. Friendship with God in Romans 4:3 comes by believing Him. Then He says something in John 15:14 and people have trouble with it. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Well, that's not fair. That's kind of a conditional friendship, don't you think? That's not fair. And then He tells you in verse 17 of the same chapter, these things I command you, that you love one another. In John 13:34, as I have loved you, that's how you love one another. Is God fair? Well, yeah, He's not fair. He's not fair. He's not fair at all. He's incredibly unfair. But in John 15:13, greater love has no man than to lay down his life for his friends. He wasn't fair at all. He wasn't fair at all. He took upon himself as an innocent one the guilt of everyone. So that guilty can be innocent, the innocent became guilty. Is that fair? Certainly not. But it is love. Amen?
If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me, so I can have eternal life with you. Amen.